also flip over to Luke chapter number 16. Luke 16 in just a little while too. If you want to find that marking, it's just a few pages backwards from John 3. And we'll be spending time in these two chapters today. And I ask that you pray for me, that I've known for some time the Lord was going to allow me to preach this message. Just wasn't sure when. And but today's the day, I know without a doubt. And I mentioned earlier that I hope that each one of you would open up your heart and open up your mind and be receptive. And what I mean by that, and some you may not know, but a lot of times when a preacher stands to preach or a teacher stands to teach, when you don't give them your full attention and you're not paying attention, you know what? Number one, you may miss something. And but most importantly today, spiritually, I don't want you to miss anything. And there's nothing about me. I'm just reading the Word of God, and I'm just going to preach to you what it says this morning. But what I'm asking you to do, that you know what? That you don't worry about anything else that's going on in your life this morning. I don't want you to worry about what you're going to have to go home to today, what happened this morning. I don't want you to worry about what you're going to be doing Friday night on the football field. I don't want you to be worried about anything else this morning but one thing, and that is being open-minded and receptive and saying, "Preacher, I'm going to listen to you like I never have before." And I believe if each one of us do that, that you know what, everybody can walk out these doors today saying that, you know what, they have got help in one way or another. And so that's my heart's desire, that, hey, that you just give your attention, not to me, but to the Lord this morning, and that He may be able to speak to your heart. And but I want to preach to you this morning out of John chapter number 3 about this thought, or on this thought, what it means to be born again. What it means to be born again. And I remember back, I've been saved a little over 13 years. All of you know that by now. I think I say it every time I'm in the pulpit. But you know what? Those 13 years have been very memorable for me. A lot of good times, a lot of times where I've been in the valley. But you know what? I've been so thankful and grateful and happy and not ashamed to be called a Christian, to be saved. Some call it saved. Some call it born again. Same thing, washed in the blood. Your sins are forgiving, whatever the case may be, but that you understand that there's a difference in a person that just walks this earth never having repented and asking the Lord to save them. And there's a difference between that person and a person that just walks this earth thinking that they're good or whatever and just wondering what's going to happen at the end of their lifetime. And there's a difference. And I believe this morning that each one of us, listen, we must know. Number one, we must be born again is what we'll read in just a moment. Jesus Himself spoke the words. But hey, my concern is this morning about you personally. Now, I could probably go around in here. I can tell you stories of different people and times that they have gotten saved. And only one I'm going to pick on this morning is my wife. And I won't go to any of you. I never would do that and embarrass you. But you know what? I know we're married. We should know each other's testimony. And I can tell you everything about her. She can tell you probably everything about me. But I know that she was in Harrison County. That's where she's from, the county up there. But anyway, she got saved when she was 7 years old. She was in a boat in her front yard, and there was no water anywhere around. But that's where she was. She was in that boat, and her sister was able to share with her and lead her to the Lord there in that boat. I know that. She's told that to me, and based on the life that I've seen her live, the time that we've known each other. Listen, there's fruit. The Bible says you'll know a man by their fruit, or a person, by the man. That means man, woman, boy, girl, mankind. You'll know them by the fruit that they bear. And I see that in her life. But so many times, you know what? We may ask the question, hey, do you know that you're saved? Are you born again? And people will say, yes. And then I've learned to follow up with this question, well, how do you know that you're saved? And from there, you'll get a broad range of answers. From, well, I'm good, my parents took me to church, I've been truly born again, repented of my sin, I remember the day. You're just a big, broad answer. And some may truly know in their heart, yes, I'm saved. Some may know in their heart that they're not saved. Some may be confused, they don't know. But my prayer today that we leave this auditorium, this worship center, this place of worship, that each one of us know, that you know without a doubt whether you're saved, on your way to heaven, lost, or on your way to hell. There's good and evil, righteousness, unrighteousness. There's either heaven for eternity or there's hell. There's no in between. There's no holding place. There's no place that you'll go to be safe. It's a place of heaven or hell. And it's up to you this morning to choose which destination that you'll take one day. I think by the Word of God we can learn that there's some few things this morning we can learn. There's some few things that will help you make your mind up and make you understand that you are saved or not. Let me say first of all, I think in order for a person to be born again, listen, there's some things that you have to understand. John chapter number 3, let's start reading in verse 1. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. I mean, he was in charge of the Jewish people there, a certain sect. And the same, Nicodemus, he came to Jesus by night and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now let me stop right there for a moment and say this. And then this was, Nicodemus was an important man in this time. As Jesus here says that, or the Bible says that he was a ruler of the Jews, and he was very knowledgeable of the law, and he was a very smart man. And here he basically had sneaked around at night, and he came to Jesus to ask questions. Now, I often wonder, well, I wonder why he came at night. I wonder why, and that really doesn't matter. But what matters is that he came to Jesus because there was something about this man Jesus that had grabbed the attention of Nicodemus. There was something about him, whether maybe he had witnessed a miracle, maybe it was people that just kept talking about Jesus. Hey, this man does all these great things and you got to come and see. But there was something about Nicodemus that he saw something in the Lord Jesus' life that he wanted to come to him and ask him about eternity. And I wonder in our lives how many of us have ever come to that point to where we truly, truly wanted and needed to know something about eternity. And he came to him and he asked a question. Verse 3, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or surely, surely is what those words mean. Verily means there. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus himself makes a very bold and statement here. And he gives this command that, listen, no man, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that means man, woman, boy, it means mankind again. That no person, no human being can ever see the kingdom of God except he be born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, Well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into a mother's womb and be born? And we see Nicodemus here, he's thinking of a natural birth. And he says, he's thinking back probably to the day that he was born and his mother. And he says, well, how can a man enter back and be born a second time from his mother? And he didn't understand. And Jesus clarified in verse number 5. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now there's no way, no how that anybody, regardless of what their religious beliefs are, there's no way that you can turn this passage of Scripture that I just shared with you around to say that there's any other way to salvation except through the man Jesus Christ. He made it very clear that the only way for a person to be born again, to be saved, to be washed in the blood, there's the only way that a person, when they die on this earth, that they can enter into heaven. And that's what he asked there in verse 3. The kingdom of God is referring to heaven. And Jesus said, the only way is for you to be born again. That's it. John 14, 6, Jesus said this. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. No man can be born again except he trusts Jesus Christ as Savior. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. Excuse me, I got those two mixed up. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man. And he is the way to heaven. The Bible didn't say that he's a way. A way would represent that there's other ways. He said, I am the way to heaven, the only way. And he made it very clear, and he makes it very clear when we take the Bible into context and we read it, that there's only one way for a person to go to heaven. That's to be born again. And I believe this, that you must understand some things in order for you to be born again. And let me say, number one, that you have to realize that God loves you. You have to realize that God loves you. The Bible says in John 3, 15 through 16, 17 and 18, says this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And we see here in this scripture that the Bible said God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. That means, listen, the world, that means they're again referring to everyone, that God so loved us. And oftentimes I've written or I've said this, that God so loved me, that God so loved Greg that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus. And that whosoever, and he makes it personal with us, but that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And this morning I'd like to ask you to put your name and insert it there in that scripture there. Listen, God loves you. In order to be born again, listen, there's some things you've got to realize. And one, I believe that you have to realize that God loves you. He loves us. Let me say this. Number one, that his love is real. It's a real love. It's a love that is real. Now, sometimes I love to use the illustration, and I've one of our local. Well, let me just say this. I've been given a counterfeit dollar bill, and I of course have a dollar bill sometimes. And you know what? I could probably take both of those around, and I could probably hand those to each one of you and say, "Okay, I want you to choose and pick which one of these are real, and which one of them fake." And you know what? Most of you, probably just about everybody, you would guess, because you wouldn't truly know, because they look so similar. But one is real and one is not. And I want you to realize this morning, listen, the love that God has for us is real. And the only way for you to truly experience that is to trust him as Lord and Savior. And his love is not only real, but let me say this, his love's real, but it's unconditional. I mean, it is unconditional. And what I mean by that, there is nothing that you can do, there's nothing that you have done, there's nothing that you can do, and there's nothing that you will do that'll make God love you any less than he does me or anybody else. He loves us all with an unconditional love. A love that, hey, you know what, that I can't explain to you, that you just have to witness, you know what, personally for yourself. But he loves us unconditionally. I love my family. Hey, I love you. But you know what? Hey, there's sometimes, you know what? I may come to that point in mine and your relationship that, you know what? That you don't like me anymore. You know what? Hey, I could hurt your feelings, whatever the case may be. There may be a time that, you know what? That you don't even love me anymore. That you actually hate me and that you can't stand the sight of me. And you know what? And I could come to that point in my life where I felt like that about someone else. But see, that's not true love. That's not real love. And that's not love that's unconditional. Unconditional love is a love that, you know what, that God has for us, that no matter what, forever and ever, listen, he loves us. And let me say this, he loved you so much that he gave his only begotten precious Son, Jesus, to come and die on an old rugged cross to pay a debt, a sin debt that we could not pay. Listen, he loves us this morning. I'm talking about an unconditional love, a real love, an unconditional love. And let me say, this love will be for eternity. Here he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Meaning that, you know what? Hey, this love is forever. It's everlasting. Now, all of us, we want to be loved. Hey, I know there's some of us that desire more love from parents and people and different things than others. But you know what? Hey, this love is some that I can't really explain to you. But I've been able to feel it and witness it and it be a part of my life ever since the morning in my home that I asked the Lord to save me and be the Lord of my life. Listen, you got to understand that God loves you. Let me say this, not only that, but I believe you must understand that you're a sinner. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means me, that means you. Hey, that means your parents, your grandparents. Hey, that's going to mean one day, hey, in the future, though, it's all of us are born sinners. And I'll get to that in just a moment. Romans chapter 5 tells us that through Adam and Eve, through their sin in the garden there of Eden, that a sin nature was passed down from that moment on to everyone that was born of woman. And we see here that not only does God love you, but you got to understand that, hey, you are a sinner. That means that you understand that, hey, you're not perfect. That you understand that, you know what, hey, you do make mistakes. I do. I'm not perfect. You know what? I'll probably sin after I get out of this pulpit today. You know what? That our flesh still desires this world. And listen, I don't try to live. I try my best to live a life that's pleasing, holy, acceptable to God. But I'm going to tell you, reality is when I got saved, hey, my soul got saved. And one day when I die, that soul, my soul is going to spend eternity in heaven or hell, in heaven, and yours is going to spend in even heaven or hell. But I do know this, that this body is going to die and go back to the ground. But this flesh did not get saved. My soul got saved, but my flesh did not. You know what? There's times that the things I see, I love to eat. You know what? Sometimes, you know, I eat too much. You know what? You can eat too much and harm your body, and that's not good. This Bible says the body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, there's times that our eyes see things that attract us, that draw us to things that we would not and should not partake of. But yet we do, because our flesh is stronger than our spirit sometimes. And that ain't the way it should be, and that ain't the way it has to be. And I've said this many a time, like a seesaw, your flesh and your spirit, whichever one you feed the most is going to be dominant in your life. And you know what? Whatever, if you feed your flesh more than your spirit, then guess what people are going to see in you? Your flesh is going to draw you away from God. Hey, and you know what? People are going to see that. But yet when your spirit is greater than your flesh, guess what? The Bible says that you'll draw nigh unto Him and He'll draw nigh unto you. But this morning you got to realize, listen, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That, listen, that does not exclude any of us. We're all sinners. And we need to realize that. But I believe also number three, listen, that we must understand that a price had to be paid. Now, I remember when I began to come to church, I realized pretty quickly that I wasn't sure what it was, but it was the Holy Spirit of God and conviction in my life. I knew that something was wrong with the way that I was living in my lifestyle. But I couldn't at that moment put my finger on it. And I tried to figure out, what is this? But I knew that there was something different. I knew something had changed when I heard the Word of God. And I do know now that that was the Holy Spirit convicting me and leading me to the cross there. But let me say that, listen, I had to understand that there was a price that was paid one day. Now, I realize that I've never been perfect. I do realize that. I know that. I've known that for years, even before I got saved. I knew I wasn't perfect. But you know what? Hey, listen, some of us sometimes we don't realize that, hey, because of that imperfectness and because of that that unrighteousness in us and because we were born of sin nature, listen, a price had to be paid in order for our sins to be forgiven. That price had to be paid. It's a price, the Bible says, that only a perfect, a spotless lamb could pay. That only Him, and we read there that Jesus said, hey, I am Him, I am that Lamb, and He came and He died on the rugged cross for our sins that we might have a chance and opportunity to be saved. Listen, we got to realize that we're lost. We got to realize that we need Jesus Christ in our life, in our hearts, so that we can and trust Him as Lord and Savior. But listen, you got to understand that there's a price that has to be paid. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. For the wages of sin is death. But the wages of sin of death. But there's a gift that God give us. But there's a gift that God give us. And that gift that it's talking about here is His precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory. We've got to realize that. Hey, you got to realize, you know what, that there's not a sin that you've committed or will commit that God won't forgive you of. The Bible speaks of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. That means rejecting of Christ. That means the only thing that's going to keep you out of heaven when the Lord deals with you is the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you may reject Him this morning. Get up, walk out of this worship center, walk into your classroom, live your life, go about your day like you always have done, And let me say this, hey, that is blasphemy. That's what the Bible means about blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You reject it. You turn it away. You turn it away. I wonder how many this morning has been in here in the last few weeks and maybe for years and in your church and in your home. There's times where the Holy Ghost of God convicted your heart, but yet you rejected, you turned him away. Boy, this morning would be a good morning to trust him. But you must know that the price had to be paid. But you know what? And I kind of got ahead of myself, but you must realize that Jesus Christ was the only one that could pay this debt. I often use this illustration. We've seen it, and man, I've seen pictures of it in books and different things, but of a road or a mountain where you see God represented on one side and mankind on the other side, and the bridge that gets you from man to God, there's a bridge there, and that bridge is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is one of the greatest illustrations I've ever seen. Listen, without Jesus Christ, mankind cannot get to God. That's what Nicodemus was saying here. He said, how can a man enter the kingdom? How can we get to the kingdom of God? He said, you must be born again, meaning you must trust Christ as your Savior. And then let me say this. Each one of you have the opportunity. Each one of you have the opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my life to you. Whatever it takes, Lord, I'm yours. Often told the story of Saul, and I love the story of Saul there in Acts chapter number 9, where he was a real mean man, and you know what? He came to the point where the Bible said he fell to the earth in verse 4, verse 6, that he said, Lord, what would they have me to do? He got saved, born again, and God used him to write, 14 books of the New Testament. Listen, I mean, God used him. You may be sitting here thinking, well, you know what, brother? You don't know what I've done. God can't use me. He can't save me. Hey, you don't know what I've done in my life, and I don't know, and I don't care, and I don't mean that in a bad way, because listen, the Lord only is concerned about what you do from this moment forward. I used to think the same thing. The Lord can't save. There's no way the Lord can't save me. I just know. I've done bad. I know what I've done. I've done some bad things. There's no way that there's a God that loves me so much, you know what, that I could ever be saved. You know what? That was the devil telling me a lie. And let me say this morning. He'll tell you that too. But listen, that Holy Spirit drew me. And I can't explain that drawing. But you know what? It was telling me, something in my spirit was telling me, this life that I'm living is not right. There's something missing. And I went around trying to figure out what it was. And then one day I realized that it was the Lord Jesus that I needed. And I wonder truly this morning, how many of you sat in here, and you know what? In your life, you may have had that tug, that draw. You may have had that in your life, but you didn't know what it was. Maybe you knew what it was, but you never, ever surrendered to it. I don't go fishing a whole lot, but I do like to fish every now and then. But you know what? You know when you're fishing and you throw that hook out there and that bait, I don't do a lot of fishing, but you know what? How do you know when you got a fish on the other end? Hey, the bobber goes down, but you know what? When you start winding that reel, guess what you feel? You feel a tug on the other side. You know what you feel? You know that sometimes that bobber may go under and you jerk that thing, but you know what? You don't have a fish because there's no tug on the other. You don't feel that tug on the other end. You know what? There's a story that you may have heard long ago, there's a little boy flying a kite out in the middle of a field, and man, he was out there, and this guy walked up, and he looked around, and he kept looking around, and he said, you know what? He said, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm flying this kite. That man kept looking around, and he turned all where. I mean, he looked everywhere. He said, man, I don't see a kite up there. How do you know it's a kite up there? He said, because I feel the tug on the other end. And we know that feeling if we've ever flown one. You know it's up there. You could have your eyes closed and know it's still in the air because you feel that line tugging. The only thing I can say this morning is I wonder how many of us sit in here and the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart. And that's the only way I can explain. Hey, there's something that the Holy Spirit does to you, and my experience of salvation is different than my wife's, and it's been different than others, Brother Bill's. You know what? Our testimonies, you know, they all comes back to, hey, we believe in Jesus Christ, paid a sin debt for all mankind. We trust Him. We repent. But you know what? Every experience is different. It's a little different for everybody. But let me say this, you'll know when the Holy Spirit's dealing with you because you'll feel that tug in your heart. You'll feel that tug in your life. You'll know that there's something going on. Hey, there's something that has to be dealt with. And let me say this, for I've been saved 13 years, and in my life, guess what? I know that I've done wrong and I was out of God's will. You know why? Because I felt that tugging also, but it wasn't for salvation, it was for repentance. You know what? Just because we get saved don't mean we're ever going to sin again. Things don't get easier like some tell you it will. Listen, Bible said those who live righteously shall suffer persecution. That's a promise. Listen, you will suffer persecution from the world, from the lost, if you accept Christ as your Savior and you live for Him. You will. Romans chapter number 5 says this. If you want to come on to the piano, Emily, come on to the piano, Brother Bill. Let me say this, Romans chapter number 5. The Bible says, I want to start in verse number 6. It says, and when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, stay with me. It's very important here. Stay with me. Now, I've just kind of preached to you, hey, things that you got to understand, I believe, before a man can be born again. And in Romans chapter 5, I just want to put a stamp on it this morning that what I've told you, what I've read in the other books of the Bible, what I've told you, what I've preached is true. Romans chapter 5. Now look at me. Here we go. I remember, what did I tell you earlier that I kept saying that I was a what kind of person? An ungodly person. And here one day while reading my Bible, I ran across this verse where it says that Christ died for the ungodly in verse 6. Verse 7 says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, knowing that we would be sinners, knowing that the lifestyle that we would live, knowing exactly, you're the way you're living and what you're doing, the place that you are right now in your life is not a surprise to God. He knows everything. He knows the choices that you've made and going to make. And let me say this morning, hey, what a greater time to make a great choice to trust Him as Lord and Savior. What a greater time. 2 Corinthians there in tells us that today is accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Some may say, well, when can you get saved? Anytime the Holy Spirit deals with your heart. Some may say, well, I can any time. But John chapter 6, Jesus himself, listen, he clarified that also. And during this time, a lot of false doctrines were going around. But Jesus said in John 6:44, no man, that means anybody, man, woman, boy, girl, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up the last day. Hey, let me say, if you got that tugging on you this morning, you feel that tugging on the other end, it just may be the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, knocking on your heart's door saying, let me in, let me in. Revelation 3:20 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man let me in, I will come in and sup with him and him with me. Just like a one-way door. I remember going into the jail Tuesday night, Brother B, last Tuesday night. And I remember when I went through that door and when it closed, you know what? I was locked in that room. And the only way that I could get out of that room was for someone to let me out. And you know what? But God showed me there that night, the Holy Spirit revealed to me that, you know what? The only way somebody on the outside could get into that room was, you know what? If someone let them in. Think of a door. Somebody standing on the outside of that door out there knocking. That door's locked. And hey, nobody can come in. You can't pull it open. Maybe the Lord's out there knocking, knocking, knocking. Hey, I want to come in. Let me in. Guess what? The only one that's going to be able to do that is who? You. How? If you go push that door open. And I'm using that scripture. And I'm trying to take it out of context. I want to just use it as an illustration. Hey, he stands at, he knocks at our heart's door sometimes. And the only way to let him in, it's for you. I can't do it for you. You've got to do it yourself. You got to come to that spot, say, we're sold. And he said, I surrender all. I surrender everything. You know what? Hey, I'm tired of the life I'm living. Lord, I want to live for you now. And God, please help me. My prayer was very short, simple, and sweet. Lord, forgive me a sinner. Save me. Be the Lord of my life. But let me say this. It came from my heart. I meant it in that moment, that very moment. Jesus Christ came in to live in my heart. We continue on reading in chapter number 5 of Romans. Verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There again we go back. Hey, all have sinned. Because of Adam and Eve's transgression, by one man's sin, the Bible says that we're all sinners. Boy, but I like this down here. And it goes on, it says in verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But listen here, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And what we go on, and what he's saying here, by one man we see, and Paul says, by one man sin entered into the human race. And yet, by one man's sacrifice, the Lord Jesus on Calvary willingly gave his life, laid down, gave his life, so that each one of you might have the chance to trust him as Lord and Savior. He willingly gave his life at Calvary so that we, and here he says, by one man, a free gift is offered to everyone. And he names that man, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, not as it was by one that sin is the gift, for the judgment was one to condemnation. But here we go again about the free gift. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. That just word justification represents this. Just if I had never sinned. Hey, by one man he justified us. Verse 17, for by one man's offense death reigned by one. But much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 20 says, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Let me say this morning. Hey, there's some of you that sit in here. I know without a doubt you've told me. I've seen it. There's no question. Hey, you do not know the Lord. This morning it'll be a great morning for you to accept him. I don't know what you're waiting on. I know I came into church many times. I felt ashamed. I felt somebody was going to laugh at me. Here I was, a grown man, married, had a child, and yet I was going to come down and say, I need the Lord. Something's not wrong, right in my life. And I fought that for weeks. I fought it for weeks, and the devil was telling me, you're good enough, you're okay. Hey, you don't have to do anything. And one morning, though, I got to that point in my life. I could not go any further, and I come to that point where I felt like if I didn't give my life to him, that I was going to die, laying in my bed on 8:45 in the morning, April 30th, year 2200, Dixie Meadow Lane. I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And hey, it was from my heart. Hey, I meant it, and I'm telling you, from that moment on, my life has not been the same. You say, Brother Greg, can he do that for me? Let me tell you, he can do that for you this morning. Hey, I don't care where you come from. I don't care. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter. Hey, it does not matter. He loves you just like he loves me. You know what? He loves me no more, no less than he loves you. And just as he saved me back then, guess what? He can save you this morning. You know what? But I can't do it for you. Hey, I want to come back there and shake you and say, well, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. But you know what? Hey, that wouldn't be any good. Hey, I can't talk you into it. If I could talk you into it, you know what? It wouldn't be real. Let me say this morning. You all have a chance, a choice to trust him as Lord and Savior. And if you walk out these doors this morning not trusting him, knowing that you're lost, what you've done is you've said, okay, I reject you. You see, some like to say, Lord, they love to hear the goodness of God, and he is good and he is great. Now, hey, and his mercy is forever and ever. But you know what? They don't want to hear that he's a God of wrath and condemnation. A lot of times people like to hear about heaven, and I do. And the Bible gives us a glimpse into heaven. But you know what? The Bible also says that there's a hell that burneth forever and ever and ever, never quencheth. Worm dieth not. Listen, there's two places of eternity. Which one this morning are you going to choose? Which morning? Or which one this morning are you going to choose? Heaven or hell? Luke chapter 19 there, Luke chapter 16, I believe in verse 19 says this. There's a story, a true story, about a man named Lazarus and a rich man. The Bible said that Lazarus laid at his gate there, sores, just begging for the crumbs that came off the rich man's table. And the Bible says that both men died. Lazarus was carried away with the angels into Abraham's bosom, represents the place of heaven, represents that eternal place, heaven. And he said, and the rich man died also and lifted up his eyes in torments. And that's an illustration, that's proof in the Word of God that there's a heaven, there's a hell. And that place of hell was so hot, it was so, the torment was so bad that the Bible says that that man, actually he saw Lazarus in his bosom. You know what? In hell, you know what? There's things you're going to be able to see. Because it tells it right there. He saw Abraham, or Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And you know what? There's going to be feelings too, because he said, he begged that, you know what? That someone would just go tell his five brethren. You know what? Hey, it's real. It's real this morning. There's a place. It's this place. It's real. And he got to that point, so he said, if I could just have, hey, I just want a drop, just a drip of water off of your fingertip. If just a drip. You know what? He had his sight. You know what? I'm sure, man, if you read more about it, it tells you more about it. But let me just say this. Listen, it's a place that nobody wants to go to. Hey, it's a place that I sure don't want any of you to go to. But it's a place that is real. And you know what? If we're at that age of accountability, and that's for different people, maybe different age, but I mean, when you get to that age where you realize that you are a sinner and you know that, hey, you're making decisions for yourself, and you know that, and the Lord deals with your heart, hey, you will have that opportunity to trust Him as Savior. And you know what? If you don't, then that is your destination today. But listen, thanks be to God. If we trust Him, if we confess our sins to Him, the Bible says, hey, that our eternity is in heaven with the Father. This morning, you must be born again to get to heaven. So we all stand together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Most serious time, hey, don't you mess with the person beside you. Please don't. And as they play and sing, listen, I want you to come to this altar if you need to. Hey, you remember that tugging? Hey, that tugging on your heart? Maybe that tugging's still there. And I'm telling you this, if it is, that's the Holy Ghost telling you, trying to tug you, trying to tell you that, hey, there's something. Whatever it is, as they play and sing, would you come this morning? Would you come this morning? Nobody looking around, please. Keep your eyes closed. May make it a little bit easier for somebody to slip out of there. Slip out of their seat and come down and say, Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord. Hey, you may be confused about some things. Hey, this morning would be a great morning to come forth. Would it be anybody this morning that needs to come on? Hey, just come on. Eternity's in the balance. Heaven or hell this morning. What will it be? What will it be? Times past, hey, you've looked at me, you said, Greg, I'm not saved. Boy, would you come this morning? I want to help you. I want to help you this morning. Oh, I wouldn't hurt you for nothing in the world. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing in the world. Hey, but would one of you just step out and say, hey, brother, that's me. I need the Lord this morning. Hey, would you come? Many's in this altar. Many's in this altar this morning. Anybody just step out and say, hey, Brother Greg, that's me. I need the Lord. Hey, if that's you this morning, nobody looking around. Hey, if that's you this morning, hey, would you just glance up at me? Just so we can make sure. Thank you. Thank you. Would you like to this morning? Would you like to? Would you come?